Today, I'm rocking the suburbs.
By about October, it began to feel like a death march.
All right, Patrick, we are back here today on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenahan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We are back here today with our friend Hunter Bennett. Hello, Hunter.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Patrick.
Hey. Yesterday, we talked with Hunter about his book, Upside Down Punks, The Strange But True Story of That Fugazi Basketball Hoop Show. If you did not listen to that, go back and listen to that. Just stop now. Go back and listen to that first. Come back to today's episode. And today we're going to talk about Hunter's adventures in concert going from 2024. Did this start off as like a goal at the beginning of the year, or tell people what was that you were trying to accomplish here?
Well, at the beginning of the year, I've got this Facebook friend, Greg Pollard, who lists each concert he attends. And he got up to like 39 or 40 in 2023. And I was like, man, that's impressive. I'd like to go to 40 concerts this year. And so it started at 40. And then I was like, that's kind of a generic number. I'm like, I'm turning 54 in 2024. So let's make it, I'm going to go to 54 concerts this year. But then I had hit 54 by the beginning of August. And so I was like, all right, well, I got to do better than that. So 100 seemed like a nice round number. So I was like, I'm going to do 100. And I made it, but it almost killed me.
So, okay. All right. Let's get into that. So 100 shows in one calendar year. And I guess the first question I have for you is, your wife let you do this?
She did. And that's funny. You asked that question right as she walked into the room. My wife was an incredibly good sport about my 100 concert quest. And she did not complain. And a couple times when I would complain to her and say, like, I'm not sure I can make it. And she was like, then why don't you just not do it? Like, nobody's forcing you to do this.
Seems like an easy solution.
Yes.
So this is an average of 2 shows a week.
Yeah. And it ended up being a lot more than that because I got off to a really slow start. Because, you know, as I said, I didn't come up with the I'm going to do 100 goal until like August. And I didn't even come up with the 54 goal till like March.
So, okay. All right. So we were talking a little bit before we started recording here. You, more than a quarter of these shows were at one particular venue. So that helped you out, right?
Yeah. I went to 27 gigs at Comet Ping Pong, which is conveniently located 3 or 4 blocks from my house. And another great thing about Comet is, you know, the shows start at 10:30 on, like first thing goes on at 10:30 on a weekend night, and the headliner goes on at midnight. So, you know, my wife and I could go out, go to a dinner party, and, you know, we would go home, she would go to bed, and I would run down to Comet and, you know, check out the headliner. I had a couple rules. One of the rules was you don't have to go to the whole gig. You have to be there for either 1 hour or one set.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, so that worked well.
What you mentioned about Comet is exactly the reason why I don't go to Comet Ping Pong, because I don't live 3 blocks away, and the shows start so late that it's like I'm never going to make it. But that's cool that you do, because they have a lot of great shows there. Tell us, I mean, did you have any favorites that were specifically at Comet Ping Pong?
I did. The first great band that I saw at Comet of the year was a band called Saint Seneca, who are sort of a folky band out of Ohio. And they were so good. I was like, this is amazing. I've never heard of them. And if Comet is booking bands like this on, I think it was like a Tuesday night, like I got to pay closer attention and start going to more of these gigs. So that show was amazing. All right. So I had a weird experience at work where a woman that I work with, who I know a little bit, but not very well, she was like, oh, I see you have posters of bands on your wall. My stepson plays in a band. I said, really? What's the band called? And she said, they're called Bodega. She said, they're big. And so I checked out Bodega. That might be the greatest gig that I saw in 2024. It was amazing. And you know who else was there? I think the Bish.
Yes. I believe he was there.
Yeah. So he was there. That was a great show there. And then Walter Mitty and his makeshift orchestra, I saw at Comet. That was a band I hadn't heard of until that day. They were playing an album I had never heard before. It was the 10-year anniversary, and it was amazing. They played to maybe 40 people, but they were 40 people that loved it and were all singing along and knew all the words. And then finally, Ed Schrader's Music Beat, I saw at Comet. They're from Baltimore. They play in DC a fair amount. If you ever get a chance to see them, go see them. They are amazing. We're talking high leg kicks, but not like not like Robert Pollard high leg kicks, because these people are playing instruments and doing high leg kicks. It was amazing.
I was really caught my eye. Hunter was the Oranges band. That's a band I always liked, that from Baltimore, that had kind of a garage punk sound. So tell us about when you saw them.
So the Oranges band are one of my favorite bands, and I think the album The World and Everything in It, which came out on Lookout right before Lookout went under, I would rank that up there with like Forever Changes and Sgt. Pepper as like one of the all-time great rock and roll albums.
It's amazing. It's
kind of a loose concept.
Saying how will we breathe in the atmosphere? You know, I spent all our breeze after.
It is a staggering artistic achievement. But they're one of my favorite bands. And so I saw that they were playing at the Atlantis, opening up for the Hold Steady.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, oh, I can't miss the Oranges band. So I bought a ticket. I went. I got there a little late because I was having a work thing. But they were just tremendous. And then the Hold Steady played, and I was reminded that I don't really like the Hold Steady. So I left. And a lot of people were perplexed. They were like, why are you leaving? I saw everything I wanted to see. But yeah, I should also mention, I've seen the Oranges band probably 20 times now. Mm. One time I saw them, Doug Gillard from Guided by Voices was playing guitar. That
really?
Was, huh. Yeah, that ranks right up there with my favorite Oranges band shows. Yeah, he actually plays on their record, The Oranges Band Are Invisible, which is great.
Oh, yeah, all their stuff is amazing. It's such an unknown and kind of underrated band. They're great. That reminds me, I was talking when we discussed Hunter's recent publishing effort about Fugazi. When I was going to a lot of shows and had a group of friends, we had this rule we sort of made that's like, no matter how bad the band is, we have to stay for 5 songs. Okay. Like that's what you've got to do. We're here. Like we're actually going to do it. And sometimes that was extremely difficult, you know, when like Furnace was playing in DC back in the day, it's like, I don't know if I can take much more of this, but, I love that you had some guidelines that you had to stay for a set or an hour. Like I think that's great. About Somebody's Backyard in Boulder, Colorado is on the list here.
So, I want to get Hunter lists all the venues where he saw shows in 2024, and then he lists like how many times at each one. So Comet Ping Pong was 27. The Black Cat was 9 times. Hank Diehl's Tavern 7. I just want to say real quickly that if you're going to do 100 shows in a year, it's, you know, best to go to the places that are small and probably the ticket prices aren't so bad. Right. So,
well, there is that.
Good. Yeah.
So there's that. That's good. And then we'll get to there's some that are, you know, some pretty big venues, but then at the bottom of the list is Somebody's Backyard in Boulder, Colorado, and Somebody's Porch in Silver Spring, Maryland. So, yeah. So talk about those, I guess.
So another rule was that you couldn't just go somewhere and there happened to be music, and you couldn't count that as a concert. You had to go intending to see music. So my son, Charlie, who was intern Charlie for a brief
Charlie?
Run, last summer, he graduated from the University of Colorado in Boulder in May of 2024. And his roommate, Ben, was playing in a band that was playing a backyard party. And so we went to see his roommate, Ben, play in his band. Ben's band was very good. They only played like 2 songs, but there was another band that sort of gigs around in Boulder that also played. Let me, I can't recall their name at the moment, but I'm scrolling down in my Instagram account to see what their name was. But they played and they were really great. So that is the party at Somebody's Backyard in Boulder, Colorado.
That's great.
And then, here we go. Von Disco. That's V-O-N and then new word disco.
Love it.
Yeah. They were great musicians. And, you know, it was a backyard party. So, and people had all just graduated from college. They weren't paying a lot of attention, but I was applauding quite loudly after each song, and they were kind of sheepish about it. They were like, oh, thanks.
Who's the old guy?
Yeah.
And then the porch in Silver Spring, I'm guessing, was that Woodmore
Stock? That was Woodmore Stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A big porch
and
fest.
And who did I see there? Sorry, I'm blanking on these things. I actually
There were 100 of them. It's hard to keep track.
But they're a very good DC band that I saw multiple times. So I feel like I should... I should get it right. Joy Viver, who I also saw in Fort Reno.
Okay, nice.
So you local listeners, go check out Joy Viver. They're very good.
I want to ask about, as I mentioned, these are mostly small clubs, which is the way to go, I think, for live music. But you do have on here Nationals Park. So who did you see at Nationals Park?
Green Day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My wife and her friends got tickets to Green Day. And it was Green Day are amazingly good.
Yeah.
And it was really, really hot. And our seats were very far away from the stage. But Green Day, they are true professionals, and they have a lot of great songs.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see, there's a Capital One Arena.
Oh, that was after a Wizards game. Okay. I saw 2 Chainz.
Oh, nice.
And nice. Two Chainz, I stayed for one song because the sound was terrible. But the band that played right before 2 Chainz, Belladonna, who were an all-woman go-go band, they're really good.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Very nice. Well, yeah, good. We got some go-go in there.
Yeah. Like the other key, if you're going to hit 100 shows in a year, which, again, I don't recommend. I still can't believe I did it. You got to double up. So, like, I went straight from Capital One to Comet, where I saw Continuous.
Nice.
You know, another night, the first double up I did, I saw The Far Side down at the Howard Theater, which was a great show. And then I was like, you know, I'm all the way down here. I wonder if anything's going on at the 930 Club. And the A La La's were playing at the 930 Club. So I timed it perfectly. I left Far Side right when it ended. And I got there right as the A La La's were starting. So that was doubling up is key.
Of these 100 shows, how many did you go by yourself?
The majority of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sometimes like Pops, Danny Ingram, who you listeners all know as Pops. And if you ever see him in person, you should definitely call him Pops. Pops very nicely accompanied me to a bunch. And my friend Jim Spellman went to a bunch with me. But yeah, by and large, I was by myself.
Okay. There was another one that caught my eye here. Oh, the National Building Museum. Mm. What was that?
Green played there. They
really
in an inspired bit of booking, they were doing a brutalism exhibit, and somebody was like, "Let's get Scream to play."
Scream, great. All right.
Scream, yeah, they were great.
I noticed there was one show at Jam and Java, and I think we were all three there together. That was actually a summer.
We were.
Event,
that was
right. We and Charlie as well. So that was wonderful.
Yeah, that was your celebration, and that was a great show. You guys hipped me to the Paranoid Style years ago when you had them on the show, and I love that band. I loved the mini set that they did that night, and then Jim and I saw them a few weeks ago play with Bad Moves. They are such a good band. I mean, Peter Holsapple was playing guitar, which I was like, whoa.
Yeah, amazing. But
that record, I mean, all their records are excellent, but Rolling Disclosure, that record is pretty much a perfect record.
Yeah, so that Jam and Java show was our live event that we did with...
that's right.
What do we have? Yeah.
Yeah.
With multiple acts playing and doing, sitting for interviews, stuff like that. That was a lot of fun. So thank you for coming out to that. And,
yeah.
And you know, that was kind of a haul for you to come... from where you lived out to Vienna, Virginia.
Yeah, though a Sunday night in Vienna, like that's the time to go.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, I think I probably only took like half an hour. You just never want to go on a weeknight.
No.
Right.
No.
And it was wonderful that Charlie was there too. We got to meet him. So that was really great.
Yeah. He had a great time. He loved working for you guys. So again, thank you for that.
There was one show on here. It was the Descendants. They made it on twice to your Sweet 16.
Yeah.
That Hunter compiled. So tell us, Hunter, about the Descendants doubling up.
The Descendants are probably my favorite band. So whenever they are playing anywhere nearby, I go. And so, you know, I saw them with the Circle Jerks and the Adolescents in Baltimore. And then I bought that ticket before they announced they were playing the Fillmore in Silver Spring, but I would have bought it anyway. I mean, if they are, if I can go, I will always go. I love them. The one that surprised me the most is probably I went to see Hot Tuna at the Birchmere.
I was going
to
say.
And
I was going to ask about that.
Those guys, they're in their 80s. They're actually locals. Jack Cassidy and Yorma Kalkinen grew up in Chevy Chase, D.C. They went to Yorma went to Lafayette Elementary School. Jack went to Murch. They both went to Deal Middle School and what was then Wilson High School and is now mm-hmm. Jackson. So even though everybody thinks they're from San Francisco, they are from Chevy Chase, D.C. They've been playing together since Jack was in the ninth grade. And I saw them at the Birchmere and they were so good, like musically, and just I can't believe how good they were. And also watching people that have spent their whole lives being friends and playing music together. They're both in their 80s now. It was just incredibly heartwarming and inspiring.
I was going to mention here that, you know, listeners, you might get the impression that every show Hunter went to was a punk show, but that's not the case. You know, you just mentioned Hot Tuna. I also see on your Sweet 16 list, you have Dwight Yoakam, Os Mutantes, right? So
yeah, some great Os stuff. Mutantes. I had never seen Ian MacKay dance before until I went to the Os Mutantes show and he's like sort of bopping back, stage left. It was pretty amazing.
That's great stuff.
That's great.
I want to ask you this, Hunter, though. Did you ever suffer sort of like music overload? And what I mean by that is like, I remember 10 years ago when Patrick and I went to South by Southwest and I saw so much live music in a compressed amount of time that by like the third, or I don't remember how many nights we were there, but like the third night or fourth night or whatever it was, I remember just standing at a show almost like not even able to process music anymore. Like I just like, is this good? Is this bad? I don't even know. I don't even know what's happening in my head at this point in time. You know, did anything like that ever occur with you?
By about October, it began to feel like a death march. I remember vividly, I went to see Pokey Lafarge at the Atlantis and he was great. but I became physically ill while he was playing. And like, I felt like I was going to pass out. I had to walk way up the stairs. I was like way up in the rafters and watching from there, sitting down. And I started to feel a little bit better, but it was like, it was really beginning to take a toll on me. Have you guys ever read the John Cheever short story, The Swimmer?
No.
So it's one of the great short stories. I would recommend that anybody listening read it. And it begins with a guy on a Sunday morning in the Long Island somewhere. It's the aftermath of a party, and a bunch of people are swimming or sitting around a pool, and they all are saying, I drank too much. And then one guy gets in his head that he's going to swim home from the party, like cutting through people's yards and swimming through their swimming pools. But then you realize the story is actually a metaphor for alcoholism, and it's a guy who's just totally going on a bender. And, you know, his health starts to suffer, like, and then by the time he gets home, his life has been destroyed. It felt a little like that. I mean, that's being melodramatic, but like, you know, by the end, it just, the joy was largely gone, and it felt like a compulsion. I couldn't stop. Because in part because I was like, I gotta hit 100 because I can never do this again. So yeah, it's a long way of saying, yeah, I know what it feels like to be kind of overloaded with music.
Well, isn't there that saying that like, I can't remember how it goes exactly, but it's like play is something you want to do and work is something you have to do. It sort of became work for you at some point, right?
It did. It did. But I mean, that's not to say even at that Pokey Lafarge show where I thought I was going to die, it was a great show and I enjoyed it. Pokey Lafarge is great. So yeah. And then, you know, there were definite bright spots and I finished on a real high note. I saw Light Beams, who are one of my favorite DC bands. That was my 100th show.
Oh, wow.
And that felt like a good closeout. And it was still, I think it was even in the first half of December. And oh, I was fantastic. Like, I'm done. I don't have to go. And then in 2025, my goal was to attend zero concerts. I've failed miserably. I'm actually right up around 20, but oh, I feel like I sort of appreciate it more. And, you know, if I buy a ticket and I don't feel like going and I don't end up going, I'm okay with that now.
Interesting. Okay. I was going to ask how many shows you'll go to this year.
Yes. So was I. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff coming. That's like... One of the great things about going to so many gigs in 2024 is I felt like I was really on top of who was coming and where they were playing and I was scanning the concert listing. And so I really, you know, DC gets a lot of great, interesting music and it's good to be aware of what's coming so that you are informed when making your concert going choices.
There are so many shows here. It's insane. Yeah. Yes. Believe me, I'm always like, should I buy more tickets? I'm just, you know, I have so many already on the docket, so many shows, you know, can I do this one more? And I guess your advice to me, Hunter, is maybe.
Well, I mean, I think what I will say is I have never, or at least I can't remember ever, you know, when I finally drag myself off the couch and go, I don't think I have regretted ever going to see a band, whereas I have definitely regretted not going to see bands.
That's really good. That's good advice for people.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much, Hunter, for sharing this with us. This is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure. Right.
You're a hero.
Yeah, you guys should, if you can, you should post the metrics and the Sweet 16 on the site so that people
can... Put that on the episode page for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So go to suburbspod.com and you can see that list. Breaks down all the venues and then lists to Hunter's Sweet 16 here. I will say this could present some interesting follow-up conversations with our listeners because I can think of at least a couple of listeners who might be able to challenge you for 100 in a year.
Yeah.
And so I'd be curious to see if anybody tracks it to that extent and what's your grand total for most in one calendar year.
Yeah, I would be amazed if one or more of your listeners have not beaten me in the concert going in a year category. I am continually impressed by the sort of commitment that your listeners have to staying abreast of new music. I mean, that was also part of an inspiration here, in that, like, for whatever reason, I just can't stay on top of new music. Like, there's too much of it. And like with streaming, I have a hard time investing in it. Whereas like going, I feel I can connect more than just listening to it.
I would agree with that.
Point. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, something tactile.
And then when I go to shows, especially, this is why this would bankrupt me. When I go to shows, especially when I'm seeing like sort of a new band or a band I'm not super familiar with, I always then want to like, you know, buy their record at the show.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So right. There's that too.
Yeah.
That was another rule, Jim. Don't buy any more t-shirts. In part because it gets too expensive, and also because I already have too many t-shirts and my drawers are breaking. So with rare exceptions, I did not purchase any merch at these gigs.
Yeah.
I had to buy a separate dresser for all my rock and roll t-shirts just to stay in. I went to the thrift store and bought an inexpensive dresser.
All right, let's get out of here. Thank you very much, Hunter, for being on the show.
Hunter.
Always a delight.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me.
All right, it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we will talk to you all later.
Long-time listeners to this program will probably remember, but if you didn't listen, episode 731 through 735, Hunter did a wonderful series for us on hardcore, and the Descendants are mentioned in that,
yes,
among many other bands. So definitely go back and check that out. And Warren Zevon, too, 924 through 928. Our catalog is deep and rich with Hunter.
Absolutely.